baby carrier. So I was like, this is our newest member of our dance group who's 1 month old, hopeful, Quelios, Leo, and everyone just cheered him and just was like very welcoming and very wonderful feelings in the room.
What I like about the intergenerational nature of what you're doing is we hold that as a value, but sometimes when you hear the news or you hear things, it's like one generation set against the other. I'm a baby boomer. Some people will say boomers, Bob, but I think just by coming to and seeing intergenerational participation, do you think that that will make a difference in ways here in Canada that people can be more honoring and welcoming of people from each generation to take part in creative events?
Yeah, that's really true. I definitely have noticed that in like more, whether it's like TV shows or pop culture, that it's always like, oh, it's really against each other's generation as if we have to like fight each other. But really, I think it's very much part of our most Indigenous cultures is having that importance of connection to each generation. And even as myself as a mother, like I can't go to the movies, I'm like, oh, people will glare if my baby cries or makes a noise during the important part of the movie. But I think definitely with like these kind of things, it's really kind of how we bring our communities together is through that strength of our generational sharing and really seeing that it's so much to, like we see our children as teachers. It's not just like adults are the main kind of part of society, whereas we see children as teachers, we see our gifts that we get from our elders and our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, and just definitely seeing other groups for myself that have many generations is really kind of empowering just to see those bonds as well that they're sharing.
Would you walk us through again, where do people get tickets? Where, how the festival flows from one day to the other?
The organizer, Margaret Grenier and Andy, they work really hard at advertising, sending us all emails. They'll post, they tag, they do a lot of advertising so that everyone's... and then I think they have like a ticket place where you can go and click on the link and then it will send you to a place where you can go and purchase the tickets. You can buy them online, I believe, at the door. Yeah, they're really awesome with their advertising. And it's gotten better and better throughout the years, too.
In terms
I just quickly checked to see what the link was called. It's tickets. NW, as in New West, New Westminster. Ticketsnw.ca has tickets for the Anvil Theater performances. And I think the daytime matinee is sold out, but I believe the signature evening performances had still, some of the events were still tickets available.
Wonderful. It's like too short. It needs to be a week. but I think it's wonderful that it's starting right at the beginning of Women's History Month. Are you all in either of your dance performances or engagement with the public? Are you mentioning anything or the connection to International Women's Day or Women's Month?
I think ours might have performed on Women's Day a number of years ago. But usually we just share that our group is like mothers and daughters and, you know, grandmothers, great-granddaughters. But we sometimes try to focus on our women's history in our group. But that's something that's, yeah, it's kind of a nice timing for that to be sharing about life givers and the history that our families have.
What could you share the particular day, each of you, the day and time that your presentations are happening?
Gee, I need to look at my email.
I can say when Doc Kwan will be performing. So we'll be performing Friday evening for the evening show that starts at 7:30. And we're the last performance out of that whole show. So there's a total of four different groups that are performing that night, and we're the last one. And then on Saturday, so those performances start at 1 p.m. and it goes till 4:30 p.m. And we are the second performing group for that segment. And then on Sunday, we dance again for the afternoon, again between 4, 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. And we're the second performance group.
So when people buy a ticket, there's a cluster of performances that they
Yeah, so
see.
you're not just seeing one performance. You're seeing in the evening show, you'd see four, and for the afternoon performances, you're seeing like seven or eight different performances.
And then are there times on the premises, gathering times or spaces where people are able to talk to members of different groups? Is it set up for any interaction between you and the public?
I think the way that actually, like, just the way the structure of the Anvil Center is, like the way that it's set up. I mean, after we dance and we come out, it's kind of we're kind of free game for people to talk to us. Yeah, he laughs because it's true. Like, and some of us, some of a lot of us keep our regalia on. Like, we come out after we dance because we want to watch other performances, so you can tell that we were a performer, and it's really normal for people to come up and chat with us. I do know that the festival sets up, they usually set up like different programs that are like keynotes or and that's where my knowledge is limited for this year, but I've seen, sometimes they have different workshops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of opportunity for sure to talk to us.
That's good to know.
So the East Wenok dancers dance on Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's like back-to-back performances. So we're between 7 and I don't know what that other time is. Doors open at 7. So it starts at 7:30. I think we're back-to-back, K Megan. I believe
What's
so.
that?
Our groups are back-to-back. So we're used.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you get home?
No, we're Dakakwan.
And then
So,
on Sunday, we're at 2 o'clock, they said. But I know before they used to have culture exchanges. So 1 year we did a culture exchange with the Maoris. And so we spent a lot of time with the Maoris in this one room. And then we had their woman dancing our dances. And then we ended up dancing with them and singing with them. It was really, really cool. So that was 1 year. And I don't know if they do that anymore.
I guess it'll be an adventure in
was
unfolding.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each of you, I wanted to ask we were talking about the shifts and managing time, how many different things people are sometimes expected to do because we could be on Zoom and we forget that your body still has to travel from place to place. But I wanted to ask you each about your purpose. What do you see as your purpose in life, your purpose in your craft? I'll ask you first, Pewee.
I really believe my purpose in life, because an elder asked me, he said, Masi dasinate, he said to me. And that just means, what's your purpose? And for the life of me, I have always been a singer, I've always been a dancer, I've always learned language. I was raised with my grandparents, so we were exposed to language, dancing, and singing right from when we're babies, me and my brother. And later on, I became a teacher for 25 years, and now I'm a manager of language. And now I'm learning and teaching in an immersion setting. And so now I get to teach little babies from like a language nest to elementary school to teenagers to teaching all these adults how to be teachers to learning, still learning from the elders. And, so I really believe that my purpose is to, just teach language, culture, and singing. I try to sway away from it, and my heart kept going back to it. And it's the thing that makes me the most happiest. And to continue to empower our people, empower our women, educate them about respecting their bodies and respecting themselves. Leading a good path in my sobriety. I've been sobri I'm sober for 25 years, clean and sober for 25 years, to carry myself respectfully. So, in hopes that the young girls are, learning to respect their bodies and respect themselves, respect, everything in life. So that's what I believe my purpose is.
Well, thank you for sharing. What about you, Gunnar?
My purpose. Oh man. Well, I think I was. Oh my God, I can talk about this forever. Anyway, summarize. I think everything that encompasses who I am as a Tlingit woman and my ancestry is a part of my purpose. I didn't grow up, I didn't start dancing until I was a teen. And I always tell people that when I started dancing, it felt like something came alive in me that was asleep before that. And as I've begun to practice more in different aspects of our cultural practices, the more that I've felt that feeling, a part of me coming alive that was asleep. So that language revitalization is a part of that as well, and also particularly the arts. So as an artist, I'm always exploring the stories of our people historically, but also in the contemporary moment, what it's like to be Indigenous artists in like right now. And telling that story and reclaiming our voice and reclaiming the narrative and reclaiming our image is a part of my purpose. And I think Dak Ha Kwan, this dance group, a big part of that purpose is exemplifying self-determination, the self-determination that our people have. And I know that's something my mom would say right now about the dance group. And a part of the purpose too is just like prior to being a dancer, I never thought I would be doing this in front of people. But like I said in the beginning, it's not a spectacle. We are showing you who we are, and we are sharing sacred parts of who we are, and our ancestry and our cultural practices. So it's not. It becomes something so much more than like, no, this isn't a performance. Like, we're exchanging something that's beautiful in this safe space. And so I think we all, with Dak Ha Kwan, we hope that we are able to, empower others the way that we were empowered the minute that we decided to do what we do now. And hope to inspire other people to feel that agency in their life, the way that we are able to find that through our dancing and through all of our cultural practices. Yeah, that's the most concise I can probably be. But I mean, the purpose is everything.
Right.
It's everything. And I think we, at least I consciously, I'm thinking of, I think about purpose every day. And when life gets hard and there's, difficult forces surrounding us, and there's these barriers we experience and terrible things happening in the world, I think purpose is one of those pieces that helps us keep walking. So it can't be underestimated. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good point for me to have to, I'm gonna have to go.
Okay.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
you for what you shared, because one of the reasons I've started asking just about everybody I interview about their purpose is I've had the experience of asking someone, "What's your purpose?" And they go, "Duh, purpose." Well, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me rather than What you've talked about is from the experiential learning and feeling as you go along what your purpose is. So I know as part of your purpose, you may have to leave. I'm going to continue on asking
Okay.
more questions, but thank you for
I
taking
get
time.
back. So, thank you so much, though. And see you at the festival. Yeah,
Yes.
I'll talk about it later.
Makes me
Pinch
want to come
cheese.
3 days now instead of one.
Do it. You should. See
Now you have to
you
watch
again.
all of us. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to remember now. Just teasing. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Sula, what about, do you have time to discuss or express your purpose? Okay.
Yeah. I think for me, like when I was kind of like a teenager or like a kid, I didn't realize that my mom had always shared with me about our plant knowledge. And so when I was like around 18 or 19, she would be like, I need to be traveling out of town for the weekend or for some amount of time. So I'm going to have you share, like kind of replace me as being the teacher for a workshop or guiding a plant walk. And to me, at that time, I was like, I'm not a teacher. I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to talk about our native plant medicines or share about our culture things. And then that was kind of, in a way, just kind of my mom saw those qualities in me that I could teach or I could share and present. And so it was something that I'm grateful that I was kind of able to be put into this role before I believed that I could do it. And so just sharing about how we connect to our plant medicines for my daughters, just seeing them, we like gather medicines together. So just seeing that they're really connected in their own way of knowing how the plants feel when they gather them and drink tea that we made and harvesting medicines and plants. So I think just part of that bring that connection to nature and our plant medicines has been a real kind of guiding purpose in my life.
That's so important now. There's a lot more talk about the value and the benefit of medicines and feelings from plants. And some people playing on that interest, they stick the name plant-based on things, or they stick the name nature or natural. So are there times or any other forums where you do workshops about plants, natural healing?
Yeah, that's a big part of my work that I've done with my mom for many years is that we have our own tea company, Raven and Hummingbird Tea Company. So we sell like different tea blends that are focused on your health for like sore muscles, for example. But mostly the biggest part that we do with our teas is like tea blending workshops or plant walks where we bring people on the land and it's just really wonderful to see. A lot of times people are like, I see this plant in my yard, or I see this at my school or in my community, and people just helping to bring down that kind of barrier that you don't need to be afraid or think that you're doing things wrong, that these are teachings that have been passed to you and your own family as well. A lot of times within our community, that people don't always realize that you don't need to be scared of doing things the wrong way or something, that that our teachings are really present still. And we have our Harmony Garden is a community garden we started within our Capilano Humboldtson village or reserve, and that's really to show not for people to just grow their own food, but to be able to see the plants growing that are traditional foods that they don't really they're not able to grow in a lot of areas. It's so urbanized that we don't have as much forest that's accessible to harvest or see traditional foods growing. So just really having that it's almost more of an outdoor classroom really for not just children but anyone to come and come learn about the plants. Hello.
That takes us to one of the things that's in the Government of Canada's theme for International Women's Day that could be a theme for the year. It says, because women's success is everyone's success, but of the ways to get involved, it talks about supporting women-owned businesses and learning more about inspiring Canadian women and gender equality in Canada. So, politics, sciences, and the arts, we don't hear a lot about tea ceremonies, et cetera. So your company, does it have a website if Are there times that people are welcome to come to visit or learn about tea ceremony or learn about the plants?
We do some public walks. Our website is just rht.co, rhtea.co. So even if you just type into Google, like RHT Co. or Raven and Hummingbird, here's what it stands for, Raven and Hummingbird Tea. We have different links on there of when we do like public events, people can sign up to do plant walks or like tea workshops or learning about teas and medicines and then different things. Like we've been on a podcast with the Polygon, just sharing a little bit about plant medicines here in our Coast Salish area, Vancouver. And then, just some more information on there if people want to learn more about it.
So, will any of your tea be at the festival?
We're not like vending or anything, but we usually we just like drink our tea everywhere we go. But people can find us, online, or we a few different like local retailers have us in like gift shops and things like that. But we'll be too busy preparing our performance and show to sell any tea there, but we will be around if you want to find more information about us for sure.
Well, is there much, or does the forum, the way that the event happens, are there times that people from different parts of the country are able to talk with each other and do some sharing or networking?
Yes, I think it was mentioning like we had Maoris in previous years. I know usually there are at least a few international Indigenous groups who come and share, and sometimes it might be through just in the green room, everyone's kind of preparing and maybe rehearsing or spending time together. But I don't know if there's a formal exchange happening at this year's event, but definitely just by being part of the event, I think we're able to kind of introduce each other to other groups and make those connections.
Is that something that you see advancing or happening more frequently now than in the past, that groups are sharing their practices with each other, sharing, I don't want to say child rearing, but the things that each of you have talked about that get passed on from older generations to youth? Are there any trips or things where people share customs? Practices like child rearing, childbirth, any of those things, are there, do you see that happening?
I was thinking as you were talking, I remember my granny, because a lot of times with my granny, she's a real storyteller. And the thing is that if she starts telling a story, you stop what you're doing and you look at her, and she's only going to tell you one time. And so I was raised with a lot of maybe legends or teachings, and she had a lot of morals at the end of her stories. So one story she did talk about was about this woman was giving birth. So she asked her husband to pass and place a big cedar bark woven cedar bark underneath her bum. And so she gives birth to this baby. And our people, and I'm not sure if other tribes, but with our people, at 10 months, we have a ceremony, and that's when your baby gets their baby name. And our ceremony is called Hixlugwila. And so it's like to celebrate that the child has chosen to stay on earth. And so anyway, during this Hixlugwila, the husband takes the big cedar bark, woven cedar bark, and the cedar bark's now covered in all the blood from giving birth. So he takes the two pieces of the cedar bark and gets everybody and gives two pieces to everybody in the crowd and gets them to put it on their wrist. And then so they put it on their wrist, and it's all for protection. So it's to protect them. And then they get them to place two, gives two more to everybody in the crowd, and gets them to place it across their chest, like crisscross. And that's to protect your heart. And then gets them to place one on their head, and that's to protect their brain and how they think and what's in here, what's inside your head. And then gets them to place two on their feet, and that's to protect them on the everyday walk of life. And then he picks up the baby and he turns to his wife and says, "My healing close, and I respect you." So the power of the color red for our people is all for protection.
Wow.
And the woman's protection, for the blood that was left on the cedar bark. So anyway, that really stuck out with me when my granny was talking about it, because that just it's just really it's really important. It's important to feel the love and the teachings from our elders, right? And from within our families. But then that brings me to medicine too, and she was talking about the story of Zenzenklum, which is a stinging nettle. And I'm not sure if what is your name? Sinap?
Yes, Sinaquila. Sinaq.
Sinakula. Sinakula. And so there was a big massacre that happened with our people, and when the people came to attack our people, this one man who was pretty crippled jumped into the woods, and he jumped into the Zenzenklum, which is stinging nettle. And that's where he got the that's where we knew the medicine was powerful, and it was anti-inflammatory. So it was really cool. It's just to hear all those stories, and as you were talking, just to remember all the stories my granny shared with us growing up. And she's still alive and she still shares stories. So the moment she even starts talking, you need to start listening right away.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day, managing all the things you're managing, to come to Saluau, where we speak up so people can listen up and act upon what they have heard. This weekend, you're getting two for one. You're getting on Friday the start of Women's Day, International Women's Month. And we also are getting to a way to practice one of the things that the federal government has listed, that this is a call to action and a reminder that gender equality is one of the most effective ways to build healthier, more prosperous, and more inclusive communities. So I see attending this festival is one of the things that will help people. If you're not on that path, get on that path. If it's not part of your purpose, build it in. I think as well, supporting businesses. There was just one small business mentioned here, but it's a business that represents family involvement. It represents education and learning some of the healing things that are there in the land. So use this connection between International Women's Month and this wonderful cultural dance festival, and we will see you again next week at 10. But you know what I say when people ask me what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time. And thank you all for coming today, listening to our guest. I think you feel inspired that maybe it will help you reflect on your purpose. And also, during this month of learning more about inspiring Canadian women, looking at the timeline, I think we might well want to look at the timeline and make sure the timeline is inclusive of Indigenous women and the contributions they've made. Look within our family, whether you're on a college campus, at a senior center, at a hospital, you can look at ways to understand the achievements of Canadian women in various fields, such as politics, sciences, the arts, and include in that nature. We have a group that has frequently appeared on Tsluwa Eco Wisdom, and that group is helping people learn about forest bathing and all of the many ways that nature helps support our livelihood. So I think you brought that story about the nettle, the stinging nettle. People pay a lot of money for some pharmaceuticals that sometimes addict them. So I think the more that you can share, either when it's just talking in a forum like this or incorporating stuff in the conversations you have around dance. These are very important things for people to learn about. So thank you for helping us look at another opportunity in a way that we can apply these goals for kind of a reboot to us as women doing.